and Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us Dr. Rowan McCrady from HeartMath Research Institute, and we're going to talk about their updated research projects. How are you, Rowan?
I'm doing great, Eva.
Thanks for taking the time to come on today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, so before we get started on your research project, tell us a little bit about HeartMath before we get started.
Well, okay, let me start with saying that basically the overall HeartMath mission is to facilitate a fundamental shift in health, well-being, and consciousness. So basically, there's several HeartMath organizations that work together synergistically. I'm with the Institute of HeartMath, and I'm the director of research, and we do a lot of basic research on how the heart and brain communicate with each other, intuition, these types of things, how we're interconnected with each other and the earth itself, and many outcome studies. Then the other HeartMath organizations are really dedicated to improving health, performance, and well-being for people at home and in the workplace. So they provide products and services that enable people to better transform stress, better regulate emotional responses, and actually harness the power of the human heart and how the heart and the brain communicate.
So I just want to make this clear before we get going. The research that you do, it's hard science, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're very much so.
And in fact, I would feel like you guys probably did more rigorously than average, because some people probably have issues with accepting it.
Well, that's true. When you do research that's looking into pioneering or new areas, things like intuition and stuff, the protocols and all the checks and balances have got to actually literally be much more rigorous than done in most types of studies.
Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about mainly was the new Global Coherence Project. I'm really excited about that. Could you tell us about that?
Well, the Global Coherence Initiative is a science-based co-creative project that's really intended to unite people in heart-focused care and intention to facilitate the shift in global consciousness from instability and discord to balance and more cooperation and eventually enduring peace. So that's the overall mission of the Global Coherence Initiative. And there are really two main halves, I guess I could say. One is the scientific side, where we're doing the research, and I think that's probably what you want to focus on more in our talk today. But then the other half is really an educational mission, I guess. And right now there are about a little over 30,000 members who've joined the initiative and are participating. And on that side, we regularly send out what we call care focuses, where people come together in what we have a thing called the Global Care Room. It's a really neat little part on the website for the Global Coherence Initiative, where you log in and a little dot shows up on the planet, which is rotating around of where you are. And then a symbol showing where we're all sending coherent, heart-focused care to, whether that's, you know, to help reduce the suffering of the people in New Zealand after an earthquake, or the Gulf, I mean, whatever the current planetary stress issue might be. You know, where people can just come in and send heart-focused care to whatever it is that their heart's drawn to as well. But it's really neat to be able to come together and know that you're amplifying the effects by doing this as a larger group. So then we also do a lot of education about what coherence is and a lot of neat things on that side of the project as well. And both are equally important, because on the research side, one of our intentions, of course, is to be able to measure the effect of this collective positive intention. And as we'll talk about, on the Earth's energetic systems, and then with actual outcomes that are measurable. And you have to have enough people that are coming together in this coherent space to create the coherence wave for us to measure. So if you get what I mean there, in other words, we can't do the science.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Okay. I never thought about it that way, but you do have to have that. As I went there, it's a beautiful site. It really is. Okay. How does it show up when people go on there and use that site? How do you get information, and how does it show up, and is it measurable? How do you do that?
Well, our hypothesis, of course, is that it's measurable. It's not quite that you just go to the site and see things showing up, but there's a lot of information on the site. Probably to really answer that question, I should start by saying that, you know, on the science side, we have three kind of larger overarching hypotheses. The first being that all living things are interconnected, you know, and that we're all communicating with each other via biological and electromagnetic fields. And those are things we can measure. And the second one is that not only are humans affected by planetary-scale energetic fields, but conversely, the Earth's energetic systems are also affected by and influenced by collective human emotions and consciousness. You know, that together we basically, what we're doing, creates the planetary field environment. And then the third one is that large numbers of people who are intentionally creating heart coherent states of care, love, compassion, appreciation, things like this, can generate a coherent standing wave that can help offset the current planetary stress wave.
Go ahead.
Well, as I said, to further answer your question, on the science side again, I'll quit saying that because that's where I'm going to address the rest of our conversation, is we've designed what will eventually be a planetary network of very sensitive magnetic field detectors that are designed specifically to measure the Earth's energetic systems. And what I mean by that, when I say energetic systems, there are several that all kind of interact. That's actually far more complex than I ever imagined when I got us into this. But the first one that almost everybody would be familiar with is the Earth's what's called geomagnetic field. And that's the field our compasses tune into. And you could think of that as a big, giant bar magnet in the center of the Earth that creates this stationary field. Of course, it's not really a big bar magnet in the center of the Earth, but just to help think of that, what that looks like, where we've got the North Pole and the South Pole. And the magnetic field lines, which are radiating many thousands of miles out into space around the planet. And it's quite worth noting, Eva, that the Earth's magnetic field is absolutely critical for life on Earth. Without a magnetic field, there would be no life, because it's what protects us from the solar wind. And without that protection, life couldn't exist. So if you think of those field lines that are going out into space, like guitar strings, tightly stretched guitar strings, these flux lines really are like that. As they interact with the solar wind, and the solar wind is the particles, not the light, but the kind of high-density protons and things like this that are spewing out from the sun at incredible speeds. When the magnetic fields interact with those, a lot of things happen. On the day side of the planet, the magnetic field is literally pushed in because of the strength of the solar wind and then stretched out into a big, long tail on the night side of the planet. But those interactions cause the field lines to vibrate, just like a guitar string. So they're sitting there singing away, if you will, 24/7, these resonances in the magnetic field lines. And our sensors measure those. They're called field line resonances, is what they're technically called. And what's really fascinating is that the modes that they vibrate in, that they resonate in, are the same frequencies as the human cardiovascular system, the human heart. In fact, one of the these are fairly high field strength resonances, relatively speaking. And one of the primary modes is exactly the same frequency that I talk a lot about in terms of talk about human heart coherence. It's 0.1 hertz.
That was going to be my question.
So isn't that amazing that
the
Earth's singing away at the same frequencies as when we're in a coherent state, which means we're aligned and centered, and that's certainly our best state at the level of the human being for promoting health and intuition and, you know, our inner alignment is when we're in that coherent state. Now, the second kind of major system, that's an energetic system that our sensors are measuring, is the fields in the ionosphere. Now, the ionosphere, people may not be as most familiar with that, but you could think of it as a big soap bubble around the planet. And it starts about 50 miles up from the surface of the Earth and goes out to about 200 miles. And this is it's called the ionosphere because it's this layer of highly charged ions. And it's also critical for life on Earth. It's the bottom of the ionosphere is basically the ozone layer. And it's these highly charged ions. And there, when you have ions like that, you can have large current flows through it. And that's exactly what's going on. So there are amazingly powerful flows of electrical current flowing through the ionosphere in some very complex patterns, big figure eights kind of on global scales and ring currents around the planet. And whenever you have a flow of electricity like that, of these current flows, you generate magnetic fields. And those fields are quite large. In fact, they even induce different things in the surface of the Earth. Current flows in the Earth are so large. And a lot of people don't think about that. And then there's also a cavity, what's called a resonant cavity, that's formed between the surface of the Earth and the bottom of the bottom layers of the ionosphere. And that creates this resonant chamber, is a way of thinking of it, that standing magnetic waves are created in that are constantly traveling around the planet. And some people have heard the term Schumann resonances, and that's Otto Schumann was the German researcher who first predicted these resonant frequencies. So they're traveling around the Earth in all these complex directions and things as well. And there's eight primary resonances that are created in this ionospheric chamber. The first frequency is around 7.8 hertz. And that might sound familiar for some folks that look at physiology. Because that's basically the human brainwave of the alpha rhythm. But there are eight primary Schumann resonances, and 7.8 hertz, 14 hertz, 20, 26, and so on. And all of those overlap human brainwaves frequencies. So if you start to get the picture I'm painting here, the Earth is singing away 24/7 in the same frequencies as the human brain and heart. And there's and there's also an amazing amount of research. A lot of this has been, there's a number of groups been studying this for a long time. But one of the leaders in the field is a fellow named Dr. Franz Hallberg. And that's probably not a name that most people are familiar with, but almost everybody has heard the term circadian rhythm, you know, the 24-hour rhythm mm-hmm. that occurs in our physiology. Well, Dr. Hallberg is literally the guy who coined that term back in the late, 1940s, early 1950s. Who discovered these rhythms and things. And Dr. Hallberg is still with us. He's in his 90s and still works literally 7 days a week, goes into his office at the University of Minnesota, and he's on our board for the Global Coherence Initiative, and we're doing a lot of work together, so it's great to have him involved. But the point is that many studies have now been done showing that when these fields that I'm talking about, these Earth energetic systems, first of all, should say that a lot of our physiological or biological rhythms are synced up to these Earth scale rhythms. And a simple way to think of it is when they get disturbed, that impacts us on a global scale. So many types of correlations have been made in terms of, you know, our blood pressure rhythms, heart rhythms, hormonal rhythms, things like this, meaning syncing up with and being affected by these external fields. But when the field gets think of it as disturbed or more incoherent, some of the manifestations of that are that we tend to get more fatigued, we get more mentally confused, traffic accidents go up, so the number of traffic accidents and citations written kind of correlate with these rhythms in the Earth. Even terrorist attacks and things correlate with it. So there's a lot of important global scale interactions were being affected by the Earth's fields. I mean, there's many more. I mean, you know, the nutrient uptake by algae and trees and plants are all affected by it, and so on and so on.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Just say since this, you know, like the last quarter of last year, maybe the November, December, through the last couple of weeks, has something been going on?
Yes.
What it, 'cause every sensitive person that I know has been having stress symptoms, extreme stress symptoms, I guess. I don't know how to put it. What's happening?
Well, there's a number of things going on. So one of the drivers of these geomagnetic disturbances and things is solar activity. And when we have more solar flares, you know, coronal mass ejections are called, the sun is spewing out more, sometimes massive amounts of these particles that create the solar wind. So it the speed in the solar wind can change, and the solar wind itself is very complex, by the way, in terms of, but so the solar cycle is on about a 10.5 or 11-year cycle, and we are in an upswing of the what's called cycle 24. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, we had the largest geomagnetic disturbance that's been recorded in about 4 years. Because we're in the upswing now of the next solar cycle, and that'll be continuing for the next couple of years. More and more of these types of disturbances. So that's one major cycle, but there are other cycles as well. There are cosmic cycles, lunar cycles, all which have these kinds of effects.
So it's these kinds of things that your other part of HeartMath research can help people feel better when they feel like this, because it literally kind of makes us feel crazy.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. In fact, there's when you in your book, you might want to show a graph. This is published in an article we published in July, actually, in Alternative Therapies and Health and Medicine, the lead article that shows some original research done by a Russian fellow named Alexander Chesovsky, who was a professor of anatomy and astronomy, and biological physics, kind of an interesting combination. In World War One, he observed that it looked like there were some type of correlation between the battles going on in World War One and solar activity. And I mean, he was aware of a lot of the, I think, probably teachings from the ancient Chinese and Aztecs and many more past civilizations of some type of connection between the sun and human activity. He did the first real study of looking into this in a very rigorous way. And it's been reading a lot of his original work, translations of his original work recently. And what he did an amazing study of human history. How he did this back in the 1920s and stuff, I have no idea, but it was quite an undertaking. But basically, he plotted major human events back to 1749, starting back there, that, you know, as far as he could really get a good, accurate review. So these would be things that had a major influence on global effects. It could be the start of a war, the discovery of a new scientific discovery that had a major impact, you know, on humanity, all kinds of things like that. And then he basically plotted them, how many occurred, you know, in each year. And this is where a picture's worth a thousand words, is when you look at this graph of major human events. He plotted that, and then he plotted the solar cycle on top of it or right by it. And the correlation is astounding. And this was first published in 1926. So just seeing this graph, it leaves absolutely no doubt that we're affected by these external cycles and events. But what he did then, what he called this, he created an index of mass human excitability. Basically saying that when the solar cycle kicks up, we tend to get all excited, right? And this is, I know this is a long answer to your question.
And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Going.
So what... I should probably comment here that the media and even the scientific community, when they do look into these kinds of things, they tend to focus on the negative side, you know, that more wars start, which is absolutely true in this period of the solar cycle and in this magnetic field disturbances. But it's just as true that the greatest periods of human flourishing, you know, new creativity, new discoveries in science, new growths in the arts and all these things also peak at these same periods.
have to ask you a question then. Sorry, I don't. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to interrupt you, but I feel like, and I think you will too, that we are at one of those junctures. Do you see that?
Absolutely. I mean, I made the comment there also, cosmic cycles. So that's another influence that I believe personally that we're in now as well, kind of correlating with the uprise in the solar activity. So what I'm really saying, Eva, to answer your question is, these cycles, they're not out to get us. You know, I mean, all this fear about 2012 and all, that's really not the way I see it. But it's also a great opportunity. But the key is that more and more people have to realize that these solar and universal energetic influxes, as I call them, are part of a natural cycle. And how they affect us depends on how we choose to respond to them. In other words, they can be a great add-on to humanity, but at the same time, people have got to learn how to take self-responsibility for their own energy and elect to use this creative energy influxes to create deeper connections with each other, to have more caring interactions, you know, with each other and Mother Earth. So we can use, what I'm really saying is when these energetic influxes come in, and one of the things humans just do not like is change, and especially if we don't understand it or know what's going on. So we can either go get in more traffic accidents, get in arguments, start wars and all that kind of thing, or we can elect to use that energy in a more creative way to find ways to solve the problems that are facing us. But it really takes learning how to maintain our coherence and our interconnection and alignment and using that energy creatively. And that takes some effort.
We've been using that word coherence all throughout this interview. We've not defined that. Can you do that, please?
So people will know
what we're talking about?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
So they can do it?
Absolutely. Well, let me just give a little background there. I won't belabor the point. But if you look up coherence in the dictionary, the first definition in almost all of them is coherence is the as in a coherent statement. In other words, does what the person's saying, do all the words fit together in an integrated and logical way that has meaning that's beyond the meaning of the individual words? So that would be like a coherent statement or a coherent thought. And we call it incoherent if they're uttering meaningless nonsense. Okay? So that's actually a good context in how we mean it, because it means that things are working together, they're logically integrated, this type of thing. Now, in physics, in science, we also use the term coherence in a similar way. So it could be in a couple different ways. How coordinated two different systems are. Are they working together and harmoniously? So we could look at coherence in say, brain waves. Are they synchronized and that kind of thing? And then we also use coherence to describe the activity or rhythmic activity in, say, a single system like our heart, cardiovascular system, our respiration cycles and things. And there, the ideal kind of picture of coherence is what's called a sine wave. And a sine wave is most people probably know what that is, but it's like a wave that's going up and down, like smooth rolling hills in a very ordered way over time. And so what our basic research has shown for many, many years is that as we learn to become more coherent in our thoughts and emotions, it's more self-directed ability to have positive feelings and thoughts, that literally leads to more coherence in our physiology, in our bodies. So the neural activity in our nervous system is more literally in sync in a measurable way. And also in the fields that we radiate, and we do radiate magnetic fields, and this is not a new age thing or something, I'm talking physics. So for example, the human heart, it produces by far the largest rhythmic electromagnetic field in the body, by far. And with magnetometers that are available now, we can measure the heartbeat of a person about 3 feet away from them. So I don't mean this is an aura, you know, which I can't measure here in the lab. These are very real fields. And we certainly know from our research and others as well who have duplicated this stuff that we communicate with each other via these biologically generated fields. So there's a whole other level of subtle communication that goes on between people. And within Well, for example, most people have had the experience even when they go visit maybe a friend or someone, doesn't have to be, but it's more common that we, even before we catch body language cues or, you know, tone of their voice, we get a sense that something might be off, that something, you know, is upsetting
yeah.
them, right? Or the opposite can happen. It just feels really good to be around some people, right? So that's kind of what I'm talking about. This we now kind of have a pretty good understanding of what's mediating those kinds of feelings and energetic interactions. So with global coherence, we're talking about just doing this on a much larger scale than we do in our living room, right? When we're in a nice positive space and we create that that coherent field, and it literally does create a coherent field when we're in what we call a heart coherent state, and that's when our heart rhythms are literally in this sine wave pattern, and that those that get created when we're in a state where we're more loving, caring, compassionate, our physiology goes into more coherence, and so does the magnetic fields we're radiating.
Can I ask a question here?
Of course.
Because I'm just, some of this is new information from the last interview about this, so I want to make sure I fully understand that. When we're feeling coherent, and you can just say yes or no, because I know we have a lot more to talk about that you need to tell me. But when we're feeling coherent, is that the state that you feel like, say, when you were in elementary school, you and I anyway, and there was no air conditioning, and it's after lunch, and your tummy's full, and you're sitting there dazing out the window, and it's like almost like you're kind of detached from your body, and you're kind of blissful? Or is it just when you're happy, happy in the world shopping? Is there a difference between those two things? Does that make
yes.
sense?
I think I get what you're saying, and yes, there's a big difference, and no, it wouldn't be the same as kind of feeling, the after lunch slump, if that's what you're talking about.
I know, I'm thinking more like when I'm saying that, you feel kind of blissful, like out of body experience, kind of.
Yeah,
like
that's
in a meditative state.
Yeah, kind of. It coherence can certainly embrace that, but it's at the same time I need to make the point that coherence is not the same thing as being deeply relaxed or
okay.
A disassociated state, which
okay.
is a lot of, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but a lot of meditation type approaches and things are really more about disassociation, kind of getting outside of ourselves in a way, where coherence can embrace relaxation and that, but it's also a much more aligned state, so we're much more aligned with our higher capacities. And
to
we're,
describe a feeling, is it like vibrant happiness when you're like
well,
with your family and a loving.
Yeah, it's more like that. It'd be
Thanksgiving
more,
dinner or something or whatever.
Well, it's probably more like when you're sitting somewhere. It'd be more like the feeling you have when, if you're a dog or a cat lover, and your dog greets you, right? You've got that just inner kind of good feeling.
Yeah. Okay.
Of appreciation, or you're out in nature and you're just in awe of the beauty and the connectivity you feel with
okay.
everything. But you're
That's
alive
important.
And vibrant.
I understand
yeah.
that. It's good. Thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, tell me other things that you need me to know, because you know what this is for. I'm just going to let you talk.
All right. Well, I think we've covered a lot of the main kind of points that I wanted to make about the connectivity. So it's fairly easy for most people to get their head around and understand that we're born into, we live in these Earth's energetic systems, and they're vibrating away, singing to us, if you will, at the same frequencies as our heart and brains, that we would be impacted by those energetic systems, those fields, and we clearly are in some very important ways. What's a little wider, I guess, for a lot of people to grasp is what we're also proposing here is that when we're in a coherent state, especially in collective groups of people who are coherent together, in other words, you're able to maintain your own individual coherence and we have positive relations with each other, whether we're physically together or not, but that can amplify these coherent waves that we're radiating. It's kind of it's more than just 1 + 1 = 2. It's an amplification effect that goes on. But that we can modulate, interact with, and modulate the Earth's energetic systems. So that's what our goal is to measure on the Global Coherence Initiative. And so currently we have two monitoring sites that are monitoring the Earth's energetic systems, these fields. We have one here in California that are at our research center here, kind of up, you know, kind of ways up on a hill here in the mountains in California. And we last year we installed our second remote site in Saudi Arabia, which is a great site because it's almost exactly on the other mm-hmm. side of the planet. And we'll be installing two more this year, one in the UK and one in upstate New York. And then our goal is to have 12 of these sites. Now, the way that I kind of like to describe this, or you can think of it, Eva, is it was about 80 years ago when the first researcher was sticking an electrode on a person's head and measuring the EEG, or a person's brain waves. Mm-hmm. And so about back then, you know, they were going, wow, look, squiggly lines. You know, wonder what these mean. And, oh, look, they're different when they're asleep and when they're awake or when they're doing, you know, certain types of mental activity. And then, you know, technology developed a little bit more, and they were able to put one on each side of the head. And, oh, wow, they're different on the different sides of the brain, you know. You know, squiggly lines are different. Wonder what all this means. So right now we have the two sensors is where we are. And this, I'll have to say this is metaphorically, but it's like looking, what we're really measuring here is the planet Earth's heart rhythms and brain waves. I mean, now that may turn out to not be so metaphorical, but because these are very, very complex energetic systems and far more dynamic and active than I ever imagined.
That's
so our goal is to have 12 of these, basically.
It's so exciting to me. You know how when you have a puppy or a baby and you love it so much, you just want to squeeze it too hard?
Right.
That's the way this whole thing gives me this feeling about this. I just love it so much, I can't stand it. I do have a couple questions, though.
Sure.
Everybody today talks about intending. Everybody mm-hmm. does.
Sure.
And about, you know, manipulating mass, manipulating physical reality, changing our lives. But it's not really about just intending, is it?
Well, no. I mean, intention is part of the picture. But intention without coherent emotion has very little power to do anything, and at least what our research has shown. So you've got mind intention, but then you've got the power of emotion. And if one looks at there's been many, many studies done now looking at all kinds of these more, we'll call them anomalous type things. Emotion is almost always the key driver, and it sort of drives me crazy. Everybody wants to talk about, even when they write up their results, that's something to do with the mind and intention. When you really look at the studies and the results, it's clearly emotion that drives the effects. So, for example, studies that look at connectivity between people, it's a huge variable in almost all of them is, did they like each other? Were they emotionally connected? So it's the emotional connection that allows, you know, the intention that they're measuring to happen or not. And the same thing, if you're familiar with the Global Consciousness Project, which is different than the Global Coherence Project, mm-hmm. which is a worldwide network of random number generators.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Nelson heads up. He's also one of our key collaborators on our project as well. We cooperate very closely together and have random number generators here at our lab and the sites we're doing as well. But the long story short, there's about a 50-year history of this work, and I know you know Dr. Rauscher, who mm-hmm. was one of those pioneers, actually, of showing that it actually turns out that it's human emotionality that interacts with and affects these devices. Whether it's, I probably should back up and give a little more background here. It basically, this long history is showing that things that are supposed to be completely random, like the decay rate of a nuclear isotope, for example, or the output of devices made to be random generators. That's what makes Las Vegas work, is all these random number generators. And people go to great extents to make sure that these are really random, the output of these devices. But in the presence of strong human emotion, there's a type of coherence, as a way to think of it, that gets induced to where it's a subtle but measurable effect happens that either the decay rate of the isotope or the output of these devices becomes less random. But it's what's become very clear, again, is that it's emotion that has the effect. It's not intention. so much. So by creating coherent emotion combined with intention, that's really the key. And that's why we focus so much on coherence. Let me give you another example of that, Eva. You know, most people are familiar with resonance, which is a lot of the theoretical stuff that goes along with intentionality, you know, studies and try and explain them and things. Is that so? Resonance is an energy transfer that occurs. And if we use sound waves. An example, one that most people are familiar with or have heard about, is tuning forks or two guitar strings, where you tap one tuning fork, but not the second one, but through resonance, the other one will start to vibrate, right, in resonance with the first one. Okay. Well, those tuning forks or those guitar strings are highly coherent systems. Without coherence, you can't have resonance. And that part of that, you know, explanation is usually not explained. So if you decohere, then resonance can't occur.
I've never heard it thought about that. That's a very good point.
Yeah, and it's the same thing's true for us. In our, if we want to talk about intentionality, most people, when they're meditating or doing intention, they're all over the place. They're not really coherent in their energetic systems or their physiological systems. So when we talk about heart coherence, this is a very measurable state. And, you know, we've over the years developed very inexpensive little devices called the M-waves that people can use to measure their own heart coherence. And it's very easy to see as we shift our emotions, as we become more appreciative, actually feel appreciation or care or these positive feelings, that our hearts become more coherent. And what I was saying earlier is that as we become more heart coherent, the magnetic fields that we're radiating also become more coherent in a measurable way. I mean, you can see the frequencies actually come into standing waves. So then you can have this power of standing waves. And then that's what our intention then rides on to go out and have an effect.
So that raises a question. And just so you know, we have about 13 minutes. But it makes me... The cycles, whatever they are, whether it's solar, whether it's
lunar or cosmic,
whatever it is, can we, you know, because everybody's scared of that, whatever that impending doom thing that everybody has, the fear factor, whatever you want to call that thing, will coherence and loving coherence, will it affect that so that things... could stabilize more, or is that just something that's probably going to happen regardless, and it's going to be our perspective that deals with it?
It's our perspective a bit. The coherence has a huge impact on that. I mean, we shouldn't be scared of the solar cycles. We've all lived through many of them. It's, like I said, a 10.5-year cycle. We're still here, and that's been going on for eons.
So what do you think all that fear factor is about, really? Do you know what I'm talking about? I hate to even bring it up in this interview.
I'm glad you are, because it's when we're fearful, anxious, irritated, impatient, all these feelings that we have, that's what we're radiating into the field environment. So I really don't like all this negativity that the media keeps stirring up and things, because that creates more fear and that creates more of these radiations. And we all feel that at this energetic level. I mean, even if you're hiding in a cave somewhere, we're still tuned into and affected by the planetary field environment. And that's really what I'm saying in terms of what Global Coherence is all about, the Global Coherence Initiative, is to help people become more coherent at the individual level so that we're radiating more coherence into the planetary field environment. So a relatively small group of people can have a large impact, because we're all part of that big global field. So if a relatively small group of people can create more coherent standing waves, that affects all living systems within that field. And this could sound kind of, let me give you one more just perspective to help people kind of get an analogy of what I'm talking about here, is because these fields are huge, right? That I've been describing, the geomagnetic field and the ionospheric field. So it's kind of hard for people to understand, well, how can you impact something that big with little heart fields, right? Well, it's the same if we take a radio station or a TV transmitter analogy here, because I think it's almost the same thing. It takes huge power to create these large standing waves that radiate for miles, you know, when we're driving down the road and our radio's listening to them. So, but it takes very little energy to modulate that field, to impart the information on it that's riding on that wave.
Or like an interference thing.
Well, yeah, if we're listening to the radio station, that can be modulated with total incoherence, right? You know, somebody talking nonsense, creating hate and, you know, all that kinds of things in their message. Or it can be beautiful music, or somebody really talking, you know, a message that really inspires and helps educate people.
I guess I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
While you were talking, my mind started wandering a little bit about a conversation I had this morning with a friend. She was asking me about cell phones. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about whether it was up against your body, and somebody told her to put it on her belt loop, and that would make a difference. And I said, you know, I really, and I'd like your opinion on this, it doesn't matter whether it's up against your body. If it's in your field, whatever it is, it's affecting it. So it made me think about that.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a different context, but
just talking about fields. I mean,
yeah.
Coherence or any other kind of field. It affects your field because your field's more than just your physical body, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Our energetic. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Of course. Yeah.
That's where my mind wandered. Sorry.
Yeah. No problem. But in the little time we have left, I probably would like to just talk a little bit about the way we see this working.
Okay.
Because to create more coherence in our global environment, and it really starts at the individual level. And this is a really important message, Eva, because it what we do counts. I mean, a lot of people think, what can I do? You know, I'm just one person out of billions, and how can I affect the global field? So what I'm really suggesting here is that we all are making up the global field.
Hello?
So what we do counts. So
oh,
it starts at the individual level of us becoming more self-responsible, of learning what coherence is. How do
Hello?
We create it in our own systems? And, of course, there's a lot of individual personal benefits from that in terms of our health, our happiness, you know, our relationships. I mean, many studies have now proven that. But as we become more individually coherent, we're creating a more...
Cut this out.
No problem.
You were going to talk about the most important things.
Right. Well, one of the important messages here to kind of end our conversation today, Eva, is understanding that it all starts at the individual level. It's what we do. What are we feeding the field today is a question I like to ask myself. How much of the day was really spent in a coherent state where I was caring about people, but truly caring, not just a mental concept, or appreciating you know, life, the earth, each other, these kinds of things, versus being irritated and time-pressured and frustrated and overwhelmed and all these kinds of things. Because these are the radiations that create our global field environment. Now, at the individual level, as we start to take self-responsibility for our own coherence, of course, there's a lot of personal benefits from that in terms of our own health and happiness and success in life. But as I've talked about in our talk today, we literally create a more coherent energetic field, a measurable field. And a lot of evidence now is accumulating that shows that as one of us as an individual becomes more coherent, that field environment makes it easier for others to find their center, to come into their next level of coherence. So as more and more people do that, and then as they start doing it together in our workplaces, in our classrooms, in our communities, that starts moving us into what we call social coherence. So we've got more cooperation, collaboration, working together to solve problems at whatever local level that is, whether it's at a family level or a community level. And as more and more groups across the globe do this kind of activity and have moved into these more social coherence either at the family, community, workplace level, that will eventually move us into global coherence. Is at each level we're creating a stronger field, and that stronger field makes it easier for that group of individuals to maintain their coherence, more stability in it, and it's creating a larger coherent field environment, making it easier for more and more people. So that there's a lot of hope in what I'm saying, because what we do at the individual level really does count, and it really is important. It means each and every one of us really can do something to help offset the current planetary stress that we're in, and stress waves. And it all starts with how we manage ourselves throughout the day-to-day.
You know what they say, Oprah's but one person.
Exactly. So it's important that we do things like synchronized events, which we certainly do in the Global Coherence Initiative. We have synchronized events every full moon and regular synchronized events for a major planetary stress issue that might be happening, where the Global Coherence community comes together to send heart-focused care. Because those are important. However, to really shift the planetary baseline, to the shift that the planet's going through, it's really about what was my energetic radiations at the end of the day or the end of the week. Because that's the bigger game in town, so to speak, to really shift that baseline. So I hope that makes sense, Eva, and it's understandable.
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. All right. Can you tell us where we can find HeartMath and where we can find the Global Coherence Project so we can participate?
Well, thank you. I'd be happy to. Probably the best place is to go is to there's two websites, one for the Institute of HeartMath, and that is simply HeartMath. HeartMath is one word, .org, and the Global Coherence Initiative is glcoherence.org. And I would like to invite anybody listening to become a member of either or both, because they are separate websites and groups.
Do you have a mailing list somebody can get on with what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. And the way to get on that mailing list is to go sign up to be a member, either a member of the Institute of HeartMath, and we have a great newsletter and we tell our membership about our new scientific work or whatever we're doing, whether it's programs for kids or the work we're doing with the military to help people with PTSD and so on. All that gets published in our newsletter to members first. And the Global Coherence, just signing up, is free, free membership. You'll get be on our mailing list for the Global Care things I was talking about, mailings, emailings that tell us when and where to focus our care. And also the scientific side of things. And we also do a commentary every couple months that are just wonderful, that are on the Global Coherence site, that explains in much more depth some of the things I've been kind of given a very introductory overview of today. And you can also see the live data from the sensors on the Global Coherence Initiative site. So every day we're posting the real-time data of the sensors that I would discuss, and so you can see all the rhythms occurring in the planet.
What do you click on to get that?
You go to GL Coherence once you're into the website, and you become a member and mm-hmm. can sign in and get access to the deeper parts of the site. Live data is the page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. McCready, for coming on my show. This is fabulous information, and thanks for sharing it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Eva.
It's my pleasure. Good night.
Good night.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher, author of Integral Health. Integral Health. Integral Health. You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.